Yes, there is theater. I misspoke earlier this morning. Of course, there's always theater, but there is an opening this weekend. Stage Left is opening God's Country. It opens this weekend on the Memorial Day weekend and runs through June 10th. The regular sequence for Stage Left is Friday and Saturday at 7:30 and Sunday at 2. And so we have four actors here, and we're going to get inside this play, God's Country. And so let's begin with you, Kelly Hohenstein, right?
Hohenstein, yeah.
Hohenstein, close enough. Okay. Kelly Hohenstein plays Robert Matthews, but give us the overview of what is this play, God's Country?
This play is about, it's a paramilitary group called the Order that was formed here in the Northwest, actually started out of the Aryan Brotherhood up in Hayden Lake.
So this is close to home.
It's very close to home. Lots of mentions of Richard Butler, lots of mentions of, you know, Whidbey Island and Hayden Lake and going to Eastern and that kind of stuff. And this is, it's a bit of a docudrama in that there are three different kind of pieces that happen all at the same time. There's a trial. There is the formation and history of the Order, as well as a murder of a radio DJ named Alan Berg, who was a big, very outspoken liberal radio host in Denver. And he was murdered by the Order and was one of the bigger deals that they pulled off in their crime spree.
And we have four actors here, and we have four clips from, we'll call them clips just because that's what they do on TV. For short pieces of this show, let's let these four pieces lead us through kind of the essence of some of the details that you've outlined really well, Kelly. And so this first one is you as Robert Matthews, and then Jeff Ridlington as Alan Berg, the radio host himself.
So in the first one, Kelly's actually helping me out. He's playing a gentleman named
Elliot.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Kelly,
okay.
I'm just filling in today.
So. Okay, but it's good to get your voice, Jeff, because you are the radio guy. You're Alan Berg in this clip. Okay, let's hear the first of these.
Well, it's so simple. In fact, it would be far more valuable for you to write, let's say, the Holocaust Museum. Write, the United Jewish Federation. They'll send you all the information you want, with all the names, the documentation, the names of the Jews who died in World War II. They documented this. This is not a game. This is not made up. This is reality. I'd be the first to tell you that when we say 6 million, you know, somebody could have made a mistake. It could be 5. It could be 4. In fact, it could be 7.
It could also be 2.
Well, is that really the issue, Mr. Elliot?
Well, that's not the issue, except that you people are making it the issue. Try to say what Pat Schroeder did, what she did.
I think Pat Schroeder was wrong. I dramatically disagree with her. I think Pat Schroeder owes us a phone call on this one. She's a lady I've long admired. Hey, I took a pretty good pie in the face from Pat Schroeder once at a fundraiser. So for that pie in the face, we could get a phone call on this.
Well, she's saying we are anti-Semitic when that is not a fact.
Sir, that speaks for itself in the very comments you're making. You're not anti-Semitic. You're anti-Jewish.
I am not, and
you're accusing the Jews of a world conspiracy to take away your Christianity. That's not exactly a love affair with the Jews, is it?
Okay, there's the first of these four clips, which already helps illuminate what will be the essence, what is the essence of this play, God's Country, which opens this Friday at Stage Left. And so let's continue to meet characters by moving into the next one. This is... Bill, this is Bill. Describe who, because you're listed here as actor one, so describe who's talking here.
This is my actor, my character is just called Father. It's a father that is kind of reminiscing or coming to terms with the fact that how he raised his son turned him into a racist, and he's perplexed by it and remorseful by it and just completely surprised and disappointed. So it's his kind of talking how this all transpired.
Okay, so this is a monologue from this father done by Bill Bancroft?
Bancroft.
Yeah, okay.
My wife and I fought over what to name our son. The pressure of it became so real, so crucial, that we thought of nothing else. We viewed it as this stamp, this mark. Wear this, it's your name. And if you have a good name, you'll be fine. It'll protect you. It'll remind you of our good intentions. And remember, we love you enough to have put our marriage in jeopardy to arrive at your name, and never forget that. Other things were less crucial. There were things I said to my son as he grew into manhood, like, you want your laundry fast, take it to that chink on the corner. When you go to buy that car, don't let him Jew you down. And I don't want you to take any shit from that man you work for, because you're not his nigger. I didn't view these things as a mark on him. I just saw these as a necessary evil of living in a hard world. My son had his name. He'd be fine. Now he's putting things in his basement.
Okay, there's the father speaking on the, you know, kind of the outlines of the racism that we all grew up with. I mean, the very examples that you gave. I mean, I had a father from Texas who, you know, just routinely used many of these terms.
Yeah, to, exactly. It just became part of the vernacular over time.
And, well, maybe we just keep doing clips, but I want to then start drawing as many conclusions as you want to reach of what this play does with this material. Maybe we just keep... Go ahead and jump in on that.
Okay, I would say from... The nice thing about the way that this show is written is it doesn't... I don't think, and you guys correct me if I'm wrong on this, I don't think it preaches one way or another. It doesn't
pass judgment.
Yeah, it doesn't pass judgment. I think it's a good way to put that.
Mm. I think we're seeing the people as they really are, and a lot of it's in their own words from their testimonies.
Absolutely.
Or from interviews.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you agree with somebody in this play, you're going to feel like your point of view is represented.
And pretty much a lot of the points of view are represented. Like, I play Bob Matthews, who's the head of this order called the group called the Order, and he's trying to come up and make him human and make him. He doesn't come off as this evil guy most of the time, which is kind of strange. But at the same time, some of the stuff he says, you're like, oh, wow.
And I feel like a lot of what Alan Berg has to say in the play is about. We need to have dialogue, we need to talk about things, and we need to meet each other face to face and hash it out. And I feel like that's what's trying to happen here.
Yeah, I think that's a good point, yeah.
You know, well, Kelly, are you in the role of Robert Matthews in the next season from this play, God's Country, which we're about to hear?
Yeah. After running for 2 blocks, I decided to quit being the hunted and become the hunter. I drew my gun and waited behind a concrete wall for the agent to draw near. When I aimed my gun at the head of the closest agent, I saw the handsome face of a young white man and lowered my aim to his knee and foot. Had I not done so, I could have killed both agents and still had left the use of my hand, which is now mangled beyond repair. That is the last time I will ever give quarter. We hereby declare ourselves to be a free and sovereign people. Let friend and foe alike be made aware. We declare ourselves to be in a full and unrelenting state of war with those forces seeking and promoting the destruction of our faith and our race. For blood, soil, and honor, for the future of our children, for our King Jesus Christ, we commit ourselves to battle. And never forget, as long as one member of the Order is alive, the Order lives.
In the role of Robert Matthews, that was Kelly Howenstein. And then there is an attorney involved. Karen Hoagland is the attorney. And so how do you fit into all of this?
So I am the prosecuting attorney against the Order. And essentially what happens is this case starts out as racketeering charges, but she is really trying to push the agenda of the murder of Alan Berg. And so as it progresses, essentially she is the one who's interviewing all of these people who are coming through and really fleshing out the background information of the Order.
Okay, so here is the prosecuting attorney.
Now, when working on this case this summer, it occurred to me that I might be giving an argument someday. And I was thinking about something that I read. Now, I simply want to borrow the words from the speaker because he said it so much better than I could. The speaker was a young man by the name of Peter Hill, who was one of the hostages on the TWA jet that was hijacked out of Athens and brought to Beirut. Now, this individual, when he was released, had this to say about the people that captured him. They were a band of thieves, thugs, and murderers who justified their deeds with vows of religious fervor. I read this and I thought, that's the defendants in our case. And I submit to you that is exactly what they were, and they should be found guilty as charged. Thank you.
So there we go, the prosecutor's pretty direct speech right there. As we set up, these four sequences from this play, first let me ask, is it a regular play with two acts and an intermission?
Mm-hmm. There's two acts and a 15-minute intermission.
Yeah, and the four sequences we've heard, were they from both halves of the play?
Yeah.
Okay, and again, it's a problem because I don't want to give away things, but how is the trial the way that this play comes to a head?
Well, the interesting thing about the way the play is written and the way Stephen Dietz has constructed it is that it is not linear. So probably the only thing that is truly linear through the play is the trial, but it is interjected with all sorts of other pieces of history. And it constantly is in an ebb and flow, and time is irrelevant. It's basically taking a span of time from the 70s to the late 80s and showing it all to you in a big picture as opposed to a linear format.
Okay, this is God's Country. And we've met many of the characters, many of the characters that we know from this story. Who are some of the other characters that appear in the play?
Lots of different people. Like I mentioned, what's his name? I just forgot. Not Richard Spencer.
I play Richard Butler.
Richard
Butler's mentioned several times throughout the show.
That's one of the parts I'm playing.
Gary Yarbrough is mentioned.
Who just passed away recently. Yeah, in prison.
Mm-hmm. Mm. There's lots of other people that are kind of going throughout the whole show, and it's very lots of places from here. One of the first jobs that the Order pulls is robbing a porno store in Spokane.
And then they rob a bank
in Spokane, and they go over to Seattle and rob stuff, and they go to, and Gary Yarbrough gets found in Sandpoint. And
so most of the actors, I only play one role, but the rest of you guys play a whole bunch of roles. But the other person who's really a through line is Denver Parmenter, who turns against the Order and is providing a lot of the testimony. There are actually a few characters a few people in real life who do it, but he represents those people, and he really holds together the whole trial together with Mueller guiding through of what happened in the Order.
And so a lot of us who all of a sudden we hear these names and the memories come back and the newspaper stories that we read, had the four of you each had about the same experience? You knew some of the stuff that was in the place?
Oh, yeah. So definitely knew some of it, but...
Yeah, I was born and raised in this area. And then actually when Alan Berg was murdered, I was on tour and going through Denver right about the time with the band I was in. So I remember reading about it. It happened right then. And so we used to listen to Alan Berg on the radio in the bus.
Yeah, so this is some real stuff for you folks. Then what have you learned new out of this play?
Ooh.
I have to be honest, like the craziest thing that I learned, and I feel like maybe my history class was remiss, but I had no idea that anti-Semitic books were distributed at Ford dealerships. I had no idea.
Yeah.
That I actually didn't even know that Ford
during that period during the 70s and 80s. We're not talking the 30s or something.
It
was back in the 30s.
The famous Henry Ford issues.
I never knew about that. So I'm listening to this play and I'm like, what? Like, people were buying Ford cars left and right, and they're getting this free book that says the Jews are the world's foremost problem. You know, I had no idea.
And the fact that in one of my lines, I mentioned Charles Lindbergh being one of the heroes of this movement. And it's just Jack London, Charles Lindbergh. You know,
And having grown up in Alaska, I read Jack London. It was part of our curriculum. And I had no idea that he felt or thought the things he did. They never taught that.
Right.
Yeah.
A story that we get a laugh out of, I think, is when the Order was collecting all of their money from the bank robberies, one of the things they did is they hired some scientists to build them laser weapons. And those guys just took the money and were never seen again. So, I mean, I kind of think maybe they pulled a good one on them. But,
right, no kidding.
But that was a funny
story. Follow your money. That's a good lesson there.
Well, no one ever accused him of being all that smart.
Yeah. Well, they were definitely pulling off.
Yeah, they were. They were because they
were sophisticated.
Yeah. Yeah, it definitely says there's a line in the second act that mentions that they pulled off the most successful criminal heist to date, which was 1984. At that point, they knocked off an armored car that took out $3.2 million in cash. Which that was a pretty big deal back then. So
yeah.
Still is a big deal now. But
so this is the play at Stage Left. Stage Left, which is on Third Avenue, just a couple blocks west of Division. God's Country, written by Stephen Dietz, directed by Rebecca McNeil. And my thanks to the four of you, Jeff Ridlington. Thank you, Jeff, for coming in. And Bill Bancroft.
Thank you.
And Karen Hoagland. And Kelly Howenstein.
Well, thanks for having us.
And so have a great run with the play,
thank
God's
you,
Country.
Thank appreciate you so it. Much.
Thank you.